episode number 6.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
This week's hot topic has to do with a couple of overspeed ideas I'm now using with my junior high school team skaters and goalies. I'm going to share with coaches my method for avoiding whistles to start drills. I'm going to continue on a previous theme about dealing with the puck with one's eyes up. And in the tips section, I just want to share some philosophical thoughts when it comes to making a team and then getting lots of ice time. Okay, cue the Zamboni for a little administrative stuff. As the weeks go on, I get more and more psyched by the growth of my audience. And this, along with a constant flow of caffeine, sort of energizes me to keep the shows coming on at least a weekly basis. I want to especially welcome new listeners who might be joining us from betterhockey.com. Dr. Clint Steele has a great thing going for those who want to increase their game knowledge, and he's now including selected episodes of Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets for his members. As a follow-up, or maybe as just a little needle, I want to remind any youth hockey folks who listened to last week's show that if you haven't started readying for tryouts yet, you now have 1 week less to really get prepared. I also want to remind parents and coaches of beginner players that my video, aimed at helping youngsters learn things like face-off positions and simple playing rules, should remain posted for about another week or so. Just check the show notes for a link to that movie. Now, let's see. Everything is quiet up here in my downtown studio. I've done my sound check. I have enough diet soda to keep me flying for a few hours. So let's get on with another show. Today's hot topic falls under the scientific side of training, and it includes some new ideas about overspeed work. Actually, this segment also falls under the greening of New England Hockey Institute, in that it shows we're into recycling. That's right, a lot of years ago, my old friend, the late John Cunniff, showed me how to sometimes use inexpensive rubber tubes to make interesting training devices. So, I frequently visit our local bicycle shop, and they're all too happy to give me a box full of old tire tubes. Yep, and some of my training aids are made from old car tires, and I even save a lot of trees nowadays by mostly distributing instructional materials in digital form. A lot of years ago, I borrowed an idea from my Soviet studies by using bungees to add resistance to a skater's stride. What I'd do is attach a long bungee rope to the sideboards, and a player would skate out as fast as possible against the resistance of the rope. That, however, isn't overspeed training. So, just a few weeks ago, I strung together a few thin inner tubes that probably spanned about 15 feet. I then had a player carefully hold each end and a third player backing up into the springy rope. The idea is for the guy in the middle to use the rope as a slingshot type arrangement. So we'd move back, 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 and then suddenly spring out a lot faster than if he hadn't had the rope. Of course, I made a big deal out of safety here, and I had a coach at each station to ensure things were done in a careful and serious manner. Actually, we worked at this exercise in two different off-ice practices first, before I even allowed the kids to try the same things on ice. Then, even more current, I've noticed over the past few weeks that my goaltenders were a little slow in reacting to high shots. This really isn't said as a criticism of my kids, because they've often had to face some older opponents who can really fire the puck. Anyway, I'm never satisfied until I find an answer to a problem like that. So here's what I did. I created another bungee-like contraption that drops down from the top corners of a hockey net. The bungee falls through an area where a goaltender's blocker and mitt would cover up high, and each end has a loop for the goalie to fit his wrists in. In the drilling, our goalie coach scales pucks from his hand and towards the designated upper corner over and over again. The goaltender, readying for each catch or block, pulls the proper bungee downward as far as possible and then quickly reacts upward with that hand. If you get the picture, the goalie's arm and hand are sort of slingshotted upward in each movement, and thusly, they're training to go faster than they normally would. And that is the idea of overspeed training. Now, something from the artful side of coaching. You know, it drives me nuts to see a coach wasted at the front of a line of players. I mean, using just a couple of bananas, I could probably train a chimpanzee to toot a whistle every few seconds. More seriously though, a coach should bring some real value to a drill, as in providing feedback to his or her players as they work. I also think that a whistle is meant to stop things in hockey. It's not normally the signal to start. So, for what it's worth, here's what I do. I know that almost every drill has a point where a working player moves far enough along so that space becomes available for another player to enter. Actually, that's probably the point where most coaches blow their whistle. But instead, I'll tell all my players in line, the next guy goes when the guy in front of you gets to wherever. So, no more wasting a coach at the front of a line, no more training the kids to go on a whistle. This method tends to keep players alert in line, and it doesn't cost a single banana. Yeah, that ambulance is for anyone who didn't start working on the puck handling drill I offered last week. If you missed it, refer to the tip segment in episode number 5. Taking that a step further this week, I want to suggest that players mostly have to lug a puck while using split vision. And the artful side of me has me telling very young players that they have to watch the puck out of the bottom of their eyes. Really, this is a skill that has to be trained, or it has to become second nature to a player. Getting even more artful here, I suggest to the kids that the contrast of a black or blue puck against the white ice should be very helpful to them. Then I take that a little further by suggesting that they don't need to be able to read the "Made in Slovakia" imprinted on the puck. All they really need to do is recognize that black or blue blur in the bottoms of their eyes. Of course, at times, a player has to look away from the puck without losing it. It takes some feel, of course, a lot like you learned from last week's drill suggestion. All that established, a team or individuals can practice these skills. Like, I'll have my guys dribble a puck in place and then, on command, check on their puck, then look away. Check on their puck, then look around. Oh, by the way, a defensive player should never look down at the puck. A real stick handler is just dying for a defender to do that. Instead, a defensive player should use split vision to watch both the black or blue blur down below without ever taking his or her attention off the puck handler's body. This week's tip for better hockey play is really a philosophical one, and it has a little bit to do with the tryout theme carried in the past few episodes. You see, I happen to feel as though solid skills win a kid a roster spot throughout youth hockey and into high school. In most instances, that's all coaches or raters can really evaluate in the typical tryout setting. So, if a player dazzles, he or she will likely win a spot on any team. Once a team gets into games and practices, though, I'll suggest that hockey smarts become a huge factor in how much ice time the player gets. If you know what I mean, coaches soon learn who the smart players are and the ones who can follow a team's game plan and adjust their play according to the score and game clock. And coaches will also eventually learn which guys are dumb as a doggone rock. Unfortunately, it's hard for individual players to do more than ready themselves in the skill department. It's sort of hard for them to gain playing knowledge without a coach's guidance. Well, that's it for another episode. How about shooting me some questions over on the comments page? There's even a neat prize available for the best one.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.